scripture reading comes from the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, starting, I believe, at the 13th verse. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle.
Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace.
Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you.
And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we have commanded you.
And the Lord will bear our hearts in his love of God and in his good patient waiting for us.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, welcoming you to this place. It's always funny when I hear anybody welcome God to the place. Lord, what we're really saying is we want to be welcome in your presence. We believe that you are here. We believe that you are and that you reward those who diligently seek you, and we are seeking you. We are opening our hearts to be able to hear you. We are opening our hearts to be able to know you. As much as it lies within us, we want you this day. We can't do this thing without you. We can't live right without you. We can't make it without you. There's so much stuff that goes on in our life. There's so much stuff that we have to deal with, and without you, we just can't do it. So today, Lord, would you be so kind, would you so gracious, so merciful as to show yourself strong, show yourself in this place, in our hearts, in our minds. Show yourself, Lord, so that we might be able to grow in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. We are so grateful that we are allowed to access your marvelous, wonderful, amazing grace. We are thankful that by no fault of our own, not in our ability, you chose to allow us to experience your grace that changes us, your grace that empowers us, your grace that saves us, your grace. You have drawn us to this grace so that we would have faith and in our faith be able to say that we believe, that we know that you are. We thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you that you have so marvelously, so wonderfully called us to yourself. We thank you that you have made us and you are making us and that you are changing us. And we don't know exactly what that will be like at the very end, but we know that we'll be like you. And what a great thing it is to know that we can have the hope that we will be like you, that we are part of your body, that that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, it is so good to be able to experience your grace. Oh God, it is so amazing to have your grace. Oh God, you are good to us. That's nice. Thank you. Today we're going to look at Second Thessalonians. Not where any of my markers are, but where they should be. Second Thessalonians, and it will be the second chapter, starting at the 13th verse. One of the fun things about Thessalonians so far is it talks about things that I think about sometimes. It talks about things that are so important. And it's nice to know that someone felt about their group the way that I sometimes feel about our group, how I feel about us. Look here in the 13th verse. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you. I'm thankful. It is an amazing thing to have the privilege of being a part of a congregation, to be able to stand and share and talk and love and be loved and care about. And you watch babies grow to men and women and then have babies of their own. You get to see this stuff. You get to see this progression of life. Isn't life fascinating? Isn't it fascinating to watch how things go? We're in such a instant kind of way today that we sometimes don't enjoy the process, how things have changed over the years, how we're different over the years. I tell you, I was half the man that I am now when I came here. Somebody might get that someday. So we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. How does it feel? Stop and think about this for a second. How does it feel to know you are beloved of God? He loves you. It's a big deal. You are beloved of God. God cares for you. It's not a small thing that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. He's gone to great lengths for you to know that you are loved. You are beloved of the Lord because God, from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, from the beginning, he has chosen you to salvation. He has chosen through sanctification. He is chosen by setting you apart, setting you to be holy. Wouldn't it be great if somebody walked in here and they were just taken aback because it's the holy of the Lord? That's the reality of your life. You are holy. And he says, be ye holy. Let's act like what we are. Be holy because I am holy. He has chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is real? Do you believe in what I, you know, I think sometimes we take it too lightly. Why does everybody just believes? No, everybody doesn't just believe. You know how I can tell that everybody doesn't believe? Because they don't act like it. You know, there are some things you will do at some points in your life if you believe certain things. If you believe something, you live your life in line with that. That doesn't mean that you never stray. That doesn't mean that you never act out of character. But your character, if you believe, now begins to be shaped by the Word of God. That Word of God is working in you. It's changing you. And the Word of God helps you to be who you are called to be. We need to be about the business of living in line with the truth that we say we know and believe. Do you believe? Are you really walking in line with that? That's something you should ask yourself every morning and every evening. He's chosen us to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit of the living God. Listen, if you are born again, you have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. Now, how much do you allow him to be shown to the world? Do you realize how powerful the Spirit of God is? Do you realize the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead? It's something that we need to grasp. And a challenge, I think, is because we feel so weak. But we ought to not go by our feelings. In his weakness, in our weakness, he can show his strength. If anything good comes because of what you or I do, it's because of his greatness, of his wonder. We don't get to brag about the stuff that's good. We don't get to brag about who we are. We only should be concerned about saying Jesus is great. Jesus is Lord. So, wherefore he called you by our gospel, the good news, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So someone brought you the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that allows you to live. The good news. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. People don't like traditions anymore. Well, they might like their traditions, but there's just a whole wave against any institutionalism whatsoever, right? We just want to cast it out, and we want to do a new thing. And new stuff is good. I like new stuff. I like the new wine. I like the new ways of doing things. I like new music. I like all of those things. But sometimes we need to stop and decide, what is it we need to hold on to? What are the things that we need to stand firm with? What are the things that we need to grasp, that we need to think through? What are those things that we need to make sure are rock solid in our life? There are some crazy traditions that, well, they don't last, and they don't have a whole lot of value. One of the funniest ones that we used to have here, it was a really interesting thing. And maybe that's God telling me, don't tell this story. I don't think so. I'm going to tell it anyway. Not We've got a tough Lord. We're okay with this, right? All right. So we used to do this. We take up an offering, and an offering is a necessary thing here at the church, right? And we used to have a group of men that would take up the offering. And somewhere along the way, we do this thing, and the guys are sitting all over the congregation, and they would all get up, go to the back of the room, and then walk forward. So everybody watched them. I used to love to watch this because I watch everybody watch them all get up as if, like, is there a fire? You know, should I run too? It was really funny, but it was our tradition, you know. And they all walked, and then they would walk forward, and then we would pray, and then they would walk back and take up the offering, and we did this for 20 years, probably, or more. They did it before I came, probably, or maybe not. But anyway, so we did this thing, and then the pandemic came, and that idea died. Guess what? It's okay. See, that's a tradition, a real one, and it was beautiful when done right. It really was. But that's not something to live or die for, right? But what should we live or die for? Jesus came in human flesh. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. And it's important that we understand he was bodily here. And he lived a sinless life, somehow veiling off all of the prerogatives that he had as being fully God. He was fully human. He walked this earth, and in walking this earth, he got to be about 30 years old. And at that time, he was launched into an amazing ministry. In this ministry, kicked it off with, well, his baptism, and where the Father spoke from heaven, the Spirit came down and gently rested upon him, and he came up out of the water. It's an amazing thing to believe, but it's worth holding on to. It's worth holding on to that the Bible is true when he turn water to wine. It's worth holding on to when the Bible says he healed the lame. It's worth holding on to when he gave sight to the blind. It's worth holding on to when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Because it's here in the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It really is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is good for examining the things of this Word. The Word of God can tell you what is happening in this world. It can tell you what you should think and how you should think and how you should behave in this present milieu. The Word of God. And the Word of God reminds us that after this maybe 3.5 year ministry, that Jesus was crucified. He was put to death in what was just about the most horrendous way that the state could put you to death in those days. They pinned him to a Roman cross. And he died on that cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He looked at John and looked at Mary and said, Mary, this is your son. John, this is your mother. And when all of the things had happened, he said, it is finished. And he pillowed his head, laid his head down, and died. He was taken down from the cross and put into a tomb, a borrowed tomb. You know, it's funny, we don't borrow tombs because we don't have the expectation. He was put into a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again. And he's now with the Father. Somehow one with him as he always was in ways that we can't explain. I can't get that right for you. I can't explain that for you, but I believe it. You see, that's what we have to believe. That's a tradition we need to hold on to. That's something we need to grasp. It doesn't matter how we take the offering up, but it matters what we've taken into our heart. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us, he loved us and gave us everlasting consolation. He cares so much for us that forever we are consoled, we are cared for, we are built up, we are established. Forever he has us. We have a good hope through grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. It's greater than our sin. I know that I've messed up. I know where I've fallen. I know the things that I have not done right. I know that, and I know that he reached down into the gutter and pulled me up and cleaned me up and set me on my feet and called me to speak his word. He's called you to share his truth. He's called you. You are not just an afterthought. You are not some accident. You're an on purpose by an on time God who has called you to himself. He's called you. And he's made you, and he's designed you, and he's allowed you to be placed in the situation and circumstance that you are so that you might be used for his purpose right where you are. Amen. But not just right where you are, wherever he should send you. Some of us keep looking to some future place where once we get there, everything will be better. For some of us, that's heaven. Oh, if I just get to heaven, everything will be fine. It needs to be fine right now. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean the circumstances are fine right now. Sometimes the circumstances suck. Sometimes it's not the way that I would have chosen. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes I don't feel up to the job. Sometimes it just is something I'd rather not be doing, a place that I'd rather not be staying. Sometimes I dug myself in so deep. My own sins have put me in a place where it's frustrating and hard. I get all of that, but the reality is that I know that Jesus loves me. And I can sing that little song that we used to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. Little ones, to him belong. They're weak. Yes, he loves me. So because I know that I am loved, because I know that it is difficult, even when I'm loved, I can still be content. I can be content. I have not achieved all I would like to achieve. I have not been successful at everything I put my hand to. But I'm satisfied that God loves me. And if he loves me and accepts me, I'm okay. We've got to live in this world. We exist until, well, he takes us from here. But the reality is, it's okay. So verse 17 says, comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good word and work. I am not ashamed to say I need God to comfort my heart. I am not ashamed to say that this is above what I know how to do. I am not ashamed to say that some of the things that I go through don't feel okay. I'm not ashamed to say that. And so, Lord, I cast all of my care. I give all of my care. I roll all of my care over unto you. Because this is more than I can handle. I give it all to you. Because I don't grasp what to do. I give it all to you. I'm tired and weary, Lord. But I believe that if I obey you, it'll be all right. You said, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, I'm going to choose, make a conscious decision to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because I know the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. It may seem artificial, but it's all I've got. I need him. Don't you need him today? Finally, brethren, pray for us. We need to pray for each other. He starts out the passage that we were looking at praying for them. He's always praying for them. And being thankful for them, praying to God, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the congregation. Thank you for this place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But then he says, pray for us. Pray for me. That the word of the Lord may have free course. Don't you want to speak the word of God? Don't you want to speak as an oracle of God? Don't you want to have what comes out of your mouth pleasing to the Lord? Pray, pray the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Guess what? There's some people out there that are not nice. I know that's a surprise. You guys just run in circles where everybody's really, really good and easy to get along with, and they just do the godly thing. I know, I know. I haven't been able to find those circles myself. You know, we come close here, but there are challenges. So I haven't been able to find those circles, but maybe that's where you are. Maybe you ought to look at things again. Because there are people around you that don't know Jesus Christ. That's sad. They're going to die without being with God. There are people around you that know the Lord, but they are hurting for whatever reason. Maybe they have some debilitating disease. Maybe they are just lonely because they've lost their mate. Maybe they're childless and didn't want to be that way. Maybe they're whatever. Maybe they're just hanging on. There are people around you that need you to have faith. Not to say something stupid and programmed to them, but to respond with kindness and love as the situation allows, as it's appropriate. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Even though it's tough and there's crazy bombs of life going off all around me, I know that God has got me. He's faithful. He will not leave me. I know that there are days it doesn't seem like I'm winning, but thank goodness I know the end of the book. I know at the end I win because I am with the winner. I am with the one who loves me. I am with the one who cares for me. I am with the one who knows me and still loves me. Isn't it a cool thing to be known and still loved? Yeah. That's pretty tough sometimes, you know, because I'm not sure I love me some days. So for someone to know me and still love me, what a wondrous thing. And God knows you. He knows the worst of you. And he sees the best in you. So he's faithful. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do which we command you. When I say we should love each other, I want to be careful how this comes off. When I say we should love each other, I'm telling you to do that. And you say, well, who are you? I'm a man called by God to tell you that. So, you know, that's not any better, not any worse. And you are a person called by God to tell others that.
Amen.
You have been deputized. And you need to fire it off that God loves us. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. We need to be about the patient waiting for Christ. We need to be about knowing that He will one day return. He's going to crack the sky, they say. And every eye will see Him. And I believe that every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know. There's all kinds of theories and ideas about how that's going to look and what it's going to look like. I'm not so sure about all of those. I can tell you this, though. It's true. It's worth holding on to. What are you holding on to? If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what you're holding on to is fool's gold. It's changing. It's not worth anything. Are you holding on to Him? Are you holding on to the truth? Are you grasping what He has for you? What are you holding on to? Today's the day that you can affirm what you're holding on to. We don't need the traditions of men so much. But we do need what's been given to us from God. Let's love each other well. You might want to pray this prayer. Dear Father, I get it. I need You. Without You, all I do, all I try has no value. So today, I surrender. I don't know, Lord. It sounds like religious language to me. And that's not what I want. I'm not looking just for a system. I want a person. I want You. You said that anybody that came to You, You would not cast out. You wouldn't say no. I couldn't even come to You if You weren't calling. So today, Lord, I come and receive Your call. Thank You for changing me, for taking me, for saving me. Help me now to grow into all you've called me to be. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.